Something's missing. You say, well, that doesn't do anything for me, preacher. I understand that. It used to not do anything for me. Then something happened.
Amen.
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 I used to think people like us were crazy.
That's right.
I did.
Amen.
Oh, then something happened.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. I got some things right. Got born again.
Amen.
I tell you, you get born from that country from above.
Amen.
It'll change the way you live here below.
Amen.
I'm afraid that's what's missing in a lot of lives today. They've only been born. But when you get born again, things pick up.
Amen.
A lot of heaven moves down here on earth with you. Amen.
Amen.
It does. And I praise the Lord for it. I want to talk to you this morning about praising the Lord. And I think that that's what God's people ought to do. Now, listen, the worldly crowd's not going to praise the Lord. Lost people's not going to praise the Lord. And now, they should. Because the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. As a matter of fact, this psalm ends by saying in verse number 22, all of his works in all places ought to praise the Lord. Just bless the Lord. So I don't know that I have anything to bless the Lord for. Well, you're not looking at things with the right perspective. Everything that you have, everything that you are, everything that you hope to be is in the hand of God. God has been mighty good to us. I just want to break this psalm down a little bit for you. We've been in it for a couple of weeks, and I can't get past verse 1 and 2, I tell you. God has just been so good to me. And I hope that you understand God's been good to you.
Amen.
I want us to look at this psalm. This psalm is different, brethren. Now, it's different. You know, there's a collection of psalms, and the psalms are songs, and many of these songs were sang as the children of Israel were marching up to the sanctuary, to the temple, to Jerusalem to worship. And the psalms are broken down into five books. This is the end of book number 4. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn just a page or two over, you'll see the beginning of book number 5. In Psalm 107, you should have at the top of Psalm 107 in your Bible, book 5, Psalms 107 through 150. You have that? How many of you have that in your Bible? Most of you do. Because there's five books. Now, the placement of Psalm 103 is for a purpose. And I was going to go through and give you those five books, but you should have them in your Bible, how the Bible breaks down these Psalms, the five books of the Psalms. Now, it's one book, but they're broken into five segments. And this fourth segment begins in Psalm 103. And Psalm 103, 104, 105, and 106 kind of closes out with saying, you know what? Let's just take some time and praise the Lord. Amen. David says, I want to praise the Lord. Now, here's how it's different, and I want you to see this. I want you to get this. This is how the psalm is different. The psalm is different this way. The psalm doesn't mention any sadness. The psalm doesn't mention any occasion. Many times in the psalms, under the heading of the psalm, it'll say, when David sinned with Bathsheba. And so that's the purpose or the occasion of that psalm. It'll say when David fled to a cave as he was running from Saul. And so that is the occasion or the circumstance in which that psalm was written. This doesn't have an occasion. This is just David saying, you know what? I don't need a reason. You know, I don't need an occasion. I don't need a disappointment in my life for God to be praised. I don't need a threat in my life for me to realize that God's been good to me.
Amen.
See, that's what's happening here. David's just saying, I just want to praise the Lord. Why, David? He said, because he's worthy.
Amen.
And he said, and I don't want to forget all he's done for me. If God never done anything else for me, God's done so much for me. How many of you can testify and say, God has been so good to me? And if you couldn't raise your hand, you don't understand what God has done for you. Now, I didn't say if you didn't raise your hand. I said if you couldn't raise your hand. Some of you didn't raise your hand because it's finally catching up with you what I asked you to do. You get a little slow start this morning. But some of you couldn't raise your hand because you don't get it. You don't understand. God has been so good to me. If God never done anything else for me, I could spend the rest of the days that I have here and all eternity praising Him for what He's already done for me. David said, I just want to bless the Lord. It begins in verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. It ends in verse number 22, bless the Lord, O my soul. And everything in between, David just says, I just want to bless the Lord. I just want to praise God. This psalm is not asking God for anything. It's not. There's no petitions in this psalm. There's no request in this psalm. I challenge you. I looked over the last few days. I've just been searching and combing through this psalm. And I find no circumstance. I find no sadness. I find no disappointment. I find no real reason that, negatively, why David would say, you know what, I just want to praise God. David's just saying, listen. I want to praise God because of who He is, not because of what He's done. Now, he will get to that in a moment. But he said, I just want to praise God for who He is. I just want to praise God because He's God. I just want to praise God because He's manifested Himself to me. He's revealed Himself to me. He begins in verse number 1, 2, and 3, and I want you to do this. I've done this in my Bible, and if you haven't done it, just kind of make a mental note. It begins with four alls. Verse number 1, all that is within me. Verse number 2, all His benefits. Verse number 3, all thine iniquities. Verse number 3, all thy diseases. It ends with four alls. Look if you would. Verse number 19, He ruleth over all. Verse number 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye His host. Verse number 22, all His works. In all places. David is saying, I not only want to bless the Lord, and there's just something about worship this way. I'm feeling this way right now, actually. I want you to bless the Lord with me. There's something about worship that's contagious. There's something about worship that's expansive. It just searches. It just stretches. And it's just like saying, hey, come on, can't you see it? And that's what David's doing. He starts out and he says, I want to bless the Lord. God's been good to me. And then he says, I want you to bless the Lord. God's been good to you. I want the angels to bless the Lord. Amen. I want everything. I want everyone to bless the Lord. Why? He's worthy. God's worthy. David said, listen, God has showed up for me. See, that's what happens. When we began, now don't you miss this. Matter of fact, hold your place there and turn to Psalm 22. When I began, when David began right here, when you began, when God's people began. Now turn to Psalm 22, and I may ask you to read it, so be prepared. I may ask you to stand up and read it. In Psalm 22, something happens. It happened here with David. It happens with me. It happens with you. It happens when people begin to praise God. In Psalm 22, it says, but thou art holy. Look at verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of His people. See, when David began to praise God, God showed up, brother. When you begin to praise God, God shows up. That word inhabitus means takes a resident with you. He takes a place with you. When we begin to praise God, God comes on the scene. You say, I don't feel God in my life anymore, preacher. When's the last time you really praised Him? Because the Bible says right here, listen now, trying to help somebody this morning. When we begin to bless the Lord, the word bless, I'm just going to put it in country terms for you. It just means say some good things about Him. Say some good things about Him. Can you say some good things about God? Boy, I sure can.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't want to keep it to myself, and that's what's happening here. David began to say some good things about God, and God came on the scene. And when God came on the scene, it's like it just expanded, and David said, hey, I want everybody to sense. I want everybody to know what I'm sensing and what I'm knowing right now. You ever been in that place with God and God shows up and you say, oh, I wish so-and-so were here. Oh, I wish everybody. I wish there were so many people here that could know the inhabitants of the Lord in this place like this. It's happening. Go back to Psalm 103. In Psalm 103. David makes a connection. And he said, when you begin to bless the Lord, when you begin to say good things, there's a reason that it does that you begin to say that. Say, preacher, what makes you want to praise the Lord? What makes you want to bless the Lord? Why don't I want to bless the Lord more? I want you to notice a connection here in this psalm. Notice, if you would, in verse 1, bless the Lord. Verse 2, bless the Lord. The latter part of verse 1, actually, bless his holy name. Look, if you would, down in verse number 20, bless the Lord. Verse 21, bless ye the Lord. Verse 22, bless ye the Lord. And then the last part, bless the Lord, O my soul. What's connecting that? What's causing David to do that? There's a word I want you to find in this psalm. It's a four-letter word. It's fear. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. What's the word fear? It's reverence. It's respect. You see, when you begin to reverence, when I begin to respect who God is and what God has done, I have no other recourse but that my soul would bless him. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them, what? That fear him. You see, God is ministering to David's heart. And he's saying, write this, David. And David is experiencing this. He is experiencing a deep reverence for God. Can I tell you what's missing in my life? Perhaps in yours, I cannot judge you. I know it's missing in our country. It's missing in our society. There was a day when J. Wilbur Chapman, who wrote The Great Savior, Jesus, what a friend of sinners is he. There was a day when these men and the days of yesteryear, when people had a deep sense of reverence and a deep sense of awe and a deep sense of respect for who God was and what God does. We've lost it. Our society, our country has lost it. We do not give honor and reverence and homage to the day of God, to the person of God, to the things of God, to the Word of God. But when we begin to fear God in our hearts, praise will come out of our lips. Notice it here. David's praising God. But he says in verse number 11, he said, the reason I'm praising God is because, not because the heaven is high above the earth, and it is, but it's because I fear him. Verse number 13, not because he pitieth me like a father pitieth his children, but it's because I fear him. Look at verse 17. But it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that what, brethren? Say it with me. Fear him. You see, there's a connection here. Reverence and awe and respect bring praise and adoration. What will cause me to reverence and fear and respect God? I think verse 18 is the answer. Look at it. To such, those that fear him, these are they. To such, it's these. Look at it. It's them as that keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. It all goes together, doesn't it? doesn't it? You get in this book and you begin to see what God has said and what God has commanded, and we begin to order our lives after the commandments of this book, and there's just something that brings a deep sense of respect and reverence to God. We begin to see how God loves us and how God is merciful toward us and good to us and all that he's done for us. I hope you understand that what David is writing here, he's looking ahead 1,000 years, brethren. David, I believe, is in his old age. And he's looking ahead 1,000 years. And he's saying, God has removed our sins as far as the east from the west. How can he do that? David is looking toward Calvary, that's why. David is seeing the person who makes all of this possible. David is getting a glimpse into God in human form. David is seeing Jesus, the one he is an example of, the one that he is a likeness of, a type of. And he said one day, the Lord, look if you would in verse number 6. This is what verse number 6 literally means. One day the Lord executed the righteousness and judgment upon all that are oppressed. One day God's going to take care of all that. Amen. Because he's going to come in the person of his son. Right. And he's going to hang upon a tree. And the sins of all the world is going to be in his body. And God is going to give mankind a choice. You can change in your sin for my son's righteousness. You can change in your condemnation and your death for my son's forgiveness and life. And if that doesn't cause you to bless the Lord, you've never experienced it. And so he said, I want to bless the Lord. I reverence God. I fear God. I keep his commandments to do them. So when I began to ask myself the question, and I think David is doing this, what's wrong? And he summons in his soul and he's saying, rise up in me. He said, I don't want to do it just halfway. I've done it halfway, brother. Notice what he said again. I can't get away from this. I want to get away from it in a sense because I want to move on, but I just can't. Notice it again. Bless the Lord, verse 1. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. David said, I don't want to do it just halfway. Oh, yeah, by the way, amen. No, David, no. David is saying, no, no. I don't want it just to be a fleeting moment. I don't want it to be just a moment in time. I want my life to be governed by my praise for God. I don't want to do it just halfway. I want to do it for God. I want to be all in this. God deserves my best. God gave his best. God deserves my best. I want to give my best for him. God gave his best for me. Amen? I don't want to do it just halfway. I don't want to just check a box. I don't want to just go through the motions. And David is saying, I want to praise God with everything that's in me. I want to bless my God. Yeah. Brethren, I think I speak to a group of people this morning that understand what I'm saying. Yeah. But there's a devil. There's the flesh. There's things in our lives that we'll say, now just calm down and don't get too excited about this thing. The old devil doesn't want you to get excited. He doesn't want me to get excited. He doesn't want us to praise God. He wants to get us wrapped up with the snares and the cares of this world and this mindset of this world so that our hearts and our minds can't be fixed on the great God that we have. And David said, I just want to bless the Lord with all my soul and all that's in me. I want everything that I do to bless the Lord. If I'm driving down the road, I want it to bless God. If I'm at work, I want it to bless God. If I'm at church, I want it to bless God. If I'm at home, I want it to bless God. I want to have something good to say. And you know what? God said, if you'll have that attitude, I'll give it to you to say. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. If I get to the place in my life where I say, God, I want to bless you with everything I say. God, I want everything I do to bless you. God said, well, if you will get that attitude, I'll put that action in your mouth. I'll give you something good to say about me. I'll show you my goodness like you've never seen it before. Or you can't help but say good things about me. Amen. Say, preacher, I can't come up with anything good to say. Oh, listen. If you'll get that attitude, if I'll get this attitude, God, I don't want to have the pooch mouth. I don't want to go around complaining. I don't want to murmur. I don't want to dispute. I want to bless God. I want to praise God with my life. I want people to know my God is worthy of everybody's praise. That's David's attitude, brethren. That's David's spirit. May everything that hath breath praise our God. He is worthy, amen. If you'll read through this psalm, you'll never see the word God. You'll never see another word but capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that is the covenant-keeping God, because that is who David wants to bless. I want to keep God. I want to praise the God that keeps his word. I want to praise the God that keeps his covenant. I want to praise that great I am. Never a time that he hasn't been. Never a time that he won't be. God just is. That's the God I want to praise. Amen. Say, preacher, you're a little fired up. Well, I've been blessing God. And I've got a lot of catching up to do. I've fallen way behind on blessing my Lord. God forgive me. God have mercy on me. How dare me to not bless his name. Why, preacher? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad I asked it. Just look at the psalm. I counted at least 25 reasons in this psalm that David is blessing the Lord. There's probably more. You see those benefits he mentions in verse number 2? There was a reason that he did not say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He said, oh, my goodness. When I began to look back at all that God has done for me, it just broke me. And I said, oh, God, what's wrong with me? Every day of my life ought to be consumed with blessing your name. Brethren, you're looking at a man that God really did, in verse number 4, redeem his life from destruction. God redeemed me from destruction. Child preacher, I know he saved us all from hell. I'm not talking about future destruction. I'm talking about what could be in this life. I was headed for destruction. I was in destruction. I was in the destruction zone. God redeemed my life out of it. Where would I be if it were not for God? Amen. Where would I be if it wasn't for the long-suffering and the goodness of God? Amen. And I can't bring myself to a place to where I can bless his name. I can lift my hand or say amen or read his word or just a thank you at night. What's wrong with me? I'm broken. It's a terrible place to be in one sense, but it's a good place to be in another. God needs to break us before he can ever use us. God uses broken vessels. Everything that Jesus ever used, he broke. He even broke his body so that we could be made whole. He redeemed, look at it, thy life from destruction. I got to thinking at my desk a couple of days ago, where would I be? I'd probably be in jail or hell. I'm 100% sure of it. What would my precious wife and my precious children be if the old Dale Freeman, now listen, don't you get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm all of that. Anything good in me, and I mean this with every fiber in my being, anything good in me is God. Anything you see that is broken, anything you see in me that is inappropriate, anything you see in me that is bad, that's Dale Freeman. But any glimmer of good you could see in my life is all of God. Where would my precious wife and my precious children be if had God not intervened in my life? What a low down somebody I was. And I'm not much better, but I am what I am, thank God, by the grace of God. Where would we be, brethren, had God not interposed his blood? Called us by his spirit, saved us by his grace, filled us with hope, and changed our direction for all eternity. Amen. Where would we be? Where would our children be? These little precious children running around the church. Where would they be, brethren, had God left us to our own way? Where would they be running around this morning? I don't think in a church house. Amen. Let me give you a few things and I'm going to close. I looked the word benefits up. I'm going to share what the word means and I'm going to share a few of them out of this psalm. This psalm is broken down, I believe, in three very simple sections. First of all, there's the internal. Look at it. All, verse 1, that is within me. David talks about the internal. And then in verse number 6, he kind of changes it to the external. Look at it. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment, look at it, for all. So it's not just about me, David said. He said, I want you to know God's done some things for you. So it's not just about what God's done for me internally, but what God has done for all externally. And then he goes from the internal to the external to the universal. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. That's the universal. You know what David does in each three of these? He said, come on, let's praise the Lord. Come on. Let's praise the Lord. He said, God's done something for me. God's done something for you. God's done something for everything. Let everything, ordinate and inordinate. Amen? Let everything praise the Lord. May the trees praise him. Amen. May the rocks praise him. Amen. Look at what, I like this word, and we'll get to it, not today, but I like the word he uses in verse number 21. All ye host. I began to look into that word, and it got deeper than I had time to go into, but I'm going to go into it when God allows me the time. And if he does while I'm in this psalm, well, then we'll talk about it some. All ye host. I believe now from what little I was able to look into it, it's just talking about all the heavenly bodies. Let the stars bless his name. Let the sun bless his name. I believe I could say that plurally. Let the moons bless his name. Let everything that God has created in the heavenly bodies bless his name. For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Let it bless his name. Amen. It could be talking about those inhabitants of heaven, the heavenly host. I do know this in verse number 20. Look at it. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. You know, if you ever want to do a study on angels, I would encourage it. But you could start right here. Notice the things that are listed here. And I'm just giving you a little something to whet your appetite. This is something I've been looking at, and I'm telling you right now, there's been some things just stirring up in my soul. Stirring up, brethren. We are way behind in blessing the Lord. Watch what the Bible says about these angels. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. I'm behind the angels. I need to be before them here, but I'm behind them. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. The angels are doing that. Can I tell you they're in heaven saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of earth. The whole earth is full of his glory. While we're here on earth enjoying all that God has given us. And sometimes you can't even get a grunt out of me. God, please forgive me. God, have mercy on me. I don't want to be that way. The word benefit. I said I was going to give you this and we'll be done. It means bestowments. Don't forget what God's bestowed on you now. Look at that verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. If that's all God ever bestowed on me, that would keep me busy blessing His name for eternity. What a benefit. A bestowment. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Hey, fathers. You know, sometimes when you look at your children and you see them attempting and trying but failing, you know that feeling you get? This is what God is saying. There's a God in heaven looking down. Sister Crystal, you just don't know how that song blessed my heart Wednesday night. Consider the lilies. We have a heavenly Father above with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He understands when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. I thought about people sitting right here under the sound of my voice this morning, going through things that few know about, but God knows about it, dear children. God knows what you're going through. He does. Sometimes your preacher don't. Sometimes your family doesn't. But you have a Father in heaven who knows what you're going through. His bestowments. It means His dealings. That's what the word benefit. It's a dealing. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad for that benefit? That dealing that God has with man. It means bestowments. It means dealings. It means to do good. And I could give scripture and we'll look at it. It means treatment. These are His benefits. We're going to end the service this way this morning. I'm going to read some of these benefits. And if you have experienced these benefits, I want you to give a witness to heaven and to this congregation of people by standing to your feet. You say, well, what if I've experienced more than one or all of them? Just stand to your feet. And that's the way we're going to close the service. All right? Just going to read a few of them this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all of His benefits. Here's the first benefit. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Have you experienced that benefit? God help us. God help me. I want to start with me. I want to pray over you. God help me. Never to take for granted this benefit. I'd be in hell if it wasn't for this benefit. I'd have no joy, no hope. My life would be in destruction. And God, forgive me and help these people that have benefited from this benefit. Help us to bless Your name. You've been too good with this benefit for us not to bless Your name for it. Who healeth all thy diseases. That happen? You say, what are you talking about? I believe it's talking about spiritual diseases. Can I tell you, when God saved me, I had a stinking spirit. Proud, arrogant, envious, jealous, selfish, wayward. I'm not saying I'm something now, so please don't misunderstand this statement. God's then healed me of all of those. I'm still not much now because I'm still fighting that flesh. But can I tell you, God done a work in my heart. He healed me of those things. Just a stinking wretch. A terrible attitude. And God put His peace in my heart and His love in my soul. God, forgive us. If we have experienced this benefit and God turned your life around and took these vices from your life, God, help us to bless You for it. talking about benefits. Healeth all thy, forgiveth all thy iniquities. All of them, brethren. All of them. You say, well, I went back to so-and-so and asked them to forgive me, and they wouldn't forgive me. That's okay. If you ask God to, he did. He'll take care of the rest. Amen? Amen. Sometimes you can ask a man to forgive you. I've had to do it. I stole from a man before I got saved. And when God saved me, he said, I want you to go back to that man and tell him you stole from him. I was raised better than that. Now, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a Christian, was raised in a Christian home. But I had a grandmother who taught character. Tried to get me to get saved, but I was dumb. Wasted many years. But when God saved me, he began to heal me of those diseases. I was a thief. And God made that very clear to me. And I went back and told him, I stole from you, and I'm sorry. About a year later, that man's wife called me and said, his name was Jack. I worked for him. She said, Jack's got some good news he wants to share with you. And I said, good. And I went down to the shop. And Jack said, Dell, I want you to know that I got saved. Yeah. You know, you say, well, God didn't do that because you confessed it to him. Well, hey, God did it because he's gracious and long-suffering and merciful. But I believe God uses things like that. Amen. He healeth all thine diseases. Look at this in verse number 4. Redeemeth thy life from destruction. Have you experienced that? I want to raise both hands on that one. You talking about somebody hell-bent for destruction, brother. You're looking at one right here. You were too. Don't kid yourself. I have you know I was raised in a Christian home. Don't kid yourself. Hell-bent for destruction. Hell-bent. Wouldn't have had it any other way if it were not for the grace of God. Life of destruction. Not only in this life, but this word destruction means it just never ends. The pit. That's the word. Look it up. God saved me from the pit. The pit in this life and the pit called hell. God saved me from that. You enjoying that? Amen. Have you thanked God recently for saving you from hell? For rescuing your life from destruction? Have you? You know what God did when he saved us from destruction, brethren? I'm going to close with this. There's a lot more here. You just have to go home and read it, and you'll know what I'm talking about. God not only saved me from destruction, he crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you, son. You've lost your way. I'm going to show you some things. Look at verse number, you don't have your Bible, but listen to verse number 7. This is just wonderful stuff. He made known his ways unto Moses. Why do you think David said that? Because he wants me to know he'll make his ways known to you too, son. You want to follow him? You want his commandments? God made his ways known to Moses. He'll make them known to you too. He will you too. God will make his ways known to you. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Ask God. He'll tell you what to do. Trust God. He'll lead you. Amen? These are benefits, brethren. Hey, when you got saved, this is part of our package right here. This is our benefit package right here. God said, I'll guide you. I don't know which way to go. God said, I'll lead you. Yield to me. Submit to me. Trust me with all of thine heart. Now, don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me. He said, I'll direct your paths. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts, unto the children of men. God said, I'll not only lead you, I'll show you some stuff that'll keep you wanting to follow. Amen? Moses had a hard time getting those children of Israel to follow him. But every now and then, God would do something that'd say, wow. Man, what a God. Right? God will do that for me. He has. He'll do it for you too. So, you part of that benefit package? Lift your hands before the heavens. You got some of that benefit going on in your life? Don't forget to praise him for it now. I'm a forgetful person. Oh my. I'm forgetful. Sometimes it's not forgetful. I'm just unthankful. And I don't want to be unthankful. God help me. God help us. Father, God, I preach what you laid on.